James Sharman, a Sportsnet soccer analyst in Moscow right now. Hey, James, how are you? Are you safe?
Oh, it's safe here. It's fine, yeah. There's such a massive police and military presence on the streets of Moscow. It's fine. I tell you what, it's actually a carnival atmosphere at the moment. It's still, you know, 2 days before kickoff, and the fans are here in numbers, and they're having a great old time enjoying themselves. So, yes, yeah, it's been a lot of fun thus far.
James, you're there for the big announcement on who is going to get the bid in 2026. To me, this is the most easiest decision ever to make from FIFA. The North American bid is an absolute slam dunk, but we know nothing is ever easy with FIFA, even though Sepp Blatter is not in charge anymore. Morocco potentially could steal this bid away, be the second African nation to host the World Cup. What's your sense heading into tomorrow's announcement?
It's going to be fascinating. Speaking with both bids yesterday, they're confident, they're optimistic, but there's often that sense of caution and nervousness because you're right there, George, it is FIFA, and you don't now know. Now, there is more transparency this time around. In the previous voting, it was the executive committee would vote, and that's how they got at. That's how the corruption began. This time around, every member nation, 207 nations, not including the other bidding nations, will get a vote, and there'll be a public vote. We'll know who picked whom. So as it stands right now, you're right. From a bid standpoint, if you look at both bids, there's really only one winner. With the united bid of Mexico, the States, and Canada, superior in really every single way. Money being the big one, and let's be honest, you know, FIFA talks in money. It's double the revenues of the Moroccan bid. Morocco had their evaluation tour recently, and it was pretty scathing, actually. 2.7 out of 5 was the average score. Red flags put beside stadiums, accommodation, and organization. That's not great. But there is this anti-American sentiment that you may have heard about around the world right now, and that does threaten to derail the United bid. So, you know, if they do lose this bid, it's because, essentially, of Donald Trump. That's the only reason, because aside from that, this should be a slam dunk.
But it's not as though there aren't nations that have endorsed Morocco themselves, right? Like, it's not as though it's going to be a complete sweep. You do only need 51% to carry the vote. But...
No, you're right. I mean, big nations, France, Belgium, have sided with Morocco. But those nations don't need money. They're rich anyway, right? It's the small nations that need money and why the United bid will make more sense. But Morocco, I mean, I'm not discounting them, but it's a decent bid as far as they do have great passion for the game. It's very much a football culture. It'll be a very compact World Cup. Now, bear in mind, it's an expanded format, 48 teams the first time. They're going to put it all in a pretty small country, so getting around will be really easy. It'll be a great festival of football. Whereas, obviously, the North American bid, it's spread out over three countries, which is actually part of the plus side of the bid, too, because they say unity is one of the major factors here. And FIFA are really pushing this right now, unity. We're all one, a footballing family. And for the first time, this will be a tournament spread over more than one nation. So you see both perspectives, right? They both make sense. It'll come down to, I think, quite a narrow victory for one side or the other on Wednesday. At the moment, it really is too close to call.
Sportsnet soccer analyst James Sharman joining us from Moscow ahead of the World Cup announcement. James, obviously you're right. It's a 48-team tournament coming up, the expanded format. I'm not a huge fan of that, but it is what it is because FIFA just likes to have more matches, more money. Canada, they would have a better chance qualifying, obviously, if they get this bid. They will play in the World Cup. What does this mean for Canadian soccer if they, in fact, get this bid? How much do they have to speed up the process of having a team that will actually have a good showing at the World Cup instead of embarrassing itself?
Well, the whole narrative changes if we get to host games. And it's not even about those 10 games, right? It's just 10 games over a month. It's about the next 8 years. This becomes suddenly the core thing. Corporations want to start investing, perhaps, in soccer, you know, ahead of that big tournament in 8 years. The hype can start growing now. But you're right. You want to have a contending, not a contending team. You want to have a competent team at World Cup, right? Russia right now is very concerned because their team is dreadful. And they're really worried this could be the worst host team ever and what that might mean. So looking ahead, 8 years is a long time, but not really in as far as developing players. Now, I spoke to Rob Gale yesterday. He's the Canada under 20 coach. And he is actually, you know, he's a very honest guy. And he says there's some really good young talent coming through. Recently at the Toulon tournament in France, the Canadian team did really well under John Herdman. which is the U21 team. There's some good kids coming through. And there's a few players out there right now who haven't quite yet agreed to play for Canada, but they have passports. They can play. Now, if Canada can promise a home World Cup in that year's time, maybe that will sway these players to actually get behind this Canadian team and put that shirt on. So I think there's potential for this team to be decent in 2026. Bear in mind, 48 teams, there'll be some really bad teams in that tournament, like really bad teams, guys. The first round is three team groups. There's 16 of them, all right? There's a chance to sneak through that into a knockout round, potentially. So, you know, the work's got to be done. Canada is a team very much in a growth phase. We're not sure how good the kids really are, but from what I hear from the coaching at the various levels, there is talent there, and this would do nothing but help, I think, that progress.
I think in one of the rare occasions when I think of a national sport in Canada, I think of the women's side more than the men's side for soccer with Christine Sinclair and the success that they had at the Olympics. What's a name of a young player on the men's side that could be the next household name in your opinion, maybe one of these young guys that you mentioned previously?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few now. There really are. The one kid I'm looking at quite closely is at Liverpool, Liam Miller. He's a youngster in Liverpool's academy. Now, that is one of the top sides in world football, right? We saw what they did recently in the Champions League. They've got a good academy and great players coming up. And one of the top strikers, four players, is Liam Miller. And coaches just, you know, they wax poetic about this kid, how good he can be. Even within that system, he's one of the top prospects. A guy that hasn't really got a chance yet for Canada. He will, obviously. So, you know, there are guys out there. There really are. So you're right about the women's team. They have really carried the torch, haven't they, for the longest time for the Canadian program. I had an interview today with Karina LeBlanc, who, of course, got that bronze in London. Yeah. She's over here as part of the delegates. She's fantastic. That'll be airing online, I think, on Sportsnet Central later today. And she talks about what it meant having a World Cup in 2015 here with the women and what she saw, how the game grew in the women's side from that. So you turn that to the men's side and having it over here, she, I think, made, you know, some great points and brought a great perspective to what it can mean. And you're right, it's time the men caught up with the girls, because so far the girls have been just outstanding for years now.
Sportsnet soccer analyst James Sherman joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show live from Moscow. That's Ashley. I'm George. All right, James, the World Cup, we're just hours away from kickoff. Is there any sense on who you think is going to win the tournament? Has your mind been swayed at all from being in Moscow ahead of kickoff? Is Germany still the favorites in your mind? A lot of people say Spain, France, potentially. Brazil is always Brazil. What's the sense on who you think is the favorite to win this thing?
Well, walking the streets in Moscow, you'd say Brazil, because there's more Brazilian fans than anyone. They're everywhere right now, and they're having a real good time. And Peru, actually, strangely enough, Peru. I've seen more Peruvians the last 2 days than I have my entire life combined. but overall, you know, I still say Germany. I've got to stick with them. Spain is a close second right now. The more I you know, look into Spain, we see them play. Man, they're a deep team, and it seems that they've got back to where they were 4 years ago, 5 years ago. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful team. But I've got to go with Germany. I can't be swayed that much just yet. They got all the depth in the world. It's a very quiet camp so far. Everyone's happy, it seems. And they've got that experience, right? Yogi Love knows how to manage in these tournaments better than anyone. But honestly, it's one of those tournaments where, you know, if it's not Germany, France, Spain, or Brazil, I'd be absolutely stunned. I really think it's one of those four teams. I really don't see a dark horse making too much noise this time around.
Besides the games and the matches, obviously you expect to see a competitive product, especially in the later rounds. That's a given. But what do you love the most about World Cup? Like, what do you look forward to when you get to be around that environment?
Oh, actually, I don't. I'm an England fan. I'm miserable during World Cup, generally speaking. Oh, yeah.
It's wallow the whole time.
It is. I can't remember the last time I actually enjoyed a World Cup, because when I take, you know, my professional broadcaster's hat off and put my fan hat on, my team always lets me down in the most horrific way, whether it's against, you know, Iceland at a European Championship, or against Germany on penalties, or Portugal in a World Cup. It always happens. But you know what? I think it's the moments, though. Honestly, joking aside, the moments I look forward to. You get those iconic images, good or bad, and they live with you forever. And I think of Zidane's headbutt of Materazzi as being one of those images. I think of Rivaldo faking it when the ball hit him in the chest and he grabbed his face and went down. I think of Paul Gascoigne's tears. These are all negative, aren't they? You know, you're hitting my head right now.
Yeah, wow, real positive headspace there, yeah. James.
but they're just those moments that I think they transcend the sport itself, right? And I don't know, I'm biased, obviously. I don't know if other sports have quite the same iconic moments that soccer does. And because of these tournaments, it's just a wonderful collection of images that will never leave you.
James, Portugal fresh off winning the European Championship. Ronaldo gets his big international tournament win. Lionel Messi still in search of his big international win and lost in the final, obviously, to Germany 4 years ago. How much pressure is on him and Argentina to finally deliver a World Cup for his home country, especially because Ronaldo's fresh off winning Euro 2 years ago?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's pressure on Messi to get that international trophy because he hasn't got one yet. And his big rival got it last time out, as you mentioned there. But I think from a national standpoint, Argentina fans are pretty honest with themselves. You know, this isn't a great team. It's got the potential to do some real damage, of course, but it's not up there with the real big boys. The Argentine Federation is an absolute mess. The players aren't happy with it. There's some major issues off the field there. And will that, you know, translate to the play on the field? Let's hope not, because there is that potential. It's a wonderful front line, but you do wonder defensively, you know, how good that Argentina team is. You look for that creativity in the midfield. Where is it? You know, where's that world-class midfielder? I'm not sure he's there. Up front, you know, they're just stacked with wonderful players. So I think most people don't really see Argentina as being a major threat, which might allow Messi to operate in the weeds, so to speak, and maybe make some noise. I still think it's really unfair for us to, you know, judge Messi and discuss his legacy, saying, well, what if he doesn't get a World Cup? To me, it doesn't matter. He's done all he can. He's dragged this team to the World Cup through his goals. Most tournaments, when they do well, and they have reached the World Cup final, don't forget, they get there because of Leo Messi. I mean, I don't know what more he can really do himself, so it's a pretty unfair argument. I get why it's being discussed. For me, his legacy will be untarnished if he ends without this big trophy by the closing day.
James, we have about 30 seconds, but I want to know if the tournament's missing Italy and the United States very much.
Right now, not the States. No, let's be honest here. Listen, with respect
to our...
Is this
your broadcasting hat or your British hat that you're wearing right now, James?
No, what have the States done internationally, right? Listen, they're a decent team. They've had some nice runs here and there, but listen, let's talk about Italy. That's the story. The Italians, they should be there, they're not, and right now we miss them. Once the ball's kicked off on Thursday, we won't think about Italy. You know, the World Cup's bigger than any team, and that'll be the story. Personally, I'll be missing Chile more than any team, because Chile didn't qualify, and they are one of the fun teams to watch. They've got so many great characters, play a great style of football, have dominated South American football for the last number of years. They won't be there. I'm actually going to miss them more than Italy, but once the tournament starts, you know, there'll be so many storylines, good and obviously bad, that will be focused on that. Italy will be an afterthought.
He is a Sportsnet soccer analyst, James Sharman. James, thanks for doing this. Have fun at the announcement tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Hope for some celebration, shall we?